Okay, let's turn to Proverbs tonight, chapter 24. And I want to look at several verses in Proverbs about the lazy man. Sometimes Proverbs talks about a sluggard or the slothful. The modern translations tend to say lazy, although I think sluggard is better, or slothful. It sounds like it's more picturesque. But we know what it means, and the modern translations are certainly right by saying lazy, as long as we understand what we're talking about. Verse 30 of Proverbs 24. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So your poverty shall come like a prowler, and your want like an armed man. Let's pray. Lord, we certainly look for a rest. There remains a rest for the people of God. And we're grateful for the rest in this world that we have. Each day we close with rest. And if we rest well, it is a blessing from you. And Lord, we have periods of rest and of mind and body, but that's a far cry from rest out of control to the point of sloth. And so Proverbs speaks much of this. And we think of the fact that in Western Christianity, at least, it seems that spiritual gifts, unless it's a charismatic application of signs, are not even practiced or known. I know some practice them without really knowing exactly what they're called, which is fine, I think. But Lord, in many cases, it would seem that it's not even a consideration. And to speak of it is to be mysterious. So Lord, we need to be stirred as a church in America and in Western places, for the enemy is not lazy. And may we be active and zealous for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I used to watch, I think I've confessed this to you before, Hee Haw. That was in the 70s. And so Hee Haw comes on, and I would watch it. And I wasn't the only one, because it stayed on for years, you know. It was kind of a silly comedy country thing. And Junior Samples was on there. Junior Samples, one skit had Junior Samples and a friend, I forget who the guy was that he was with. They would lay at slight angles opposite each other. They would be laying and being lazy. And one would be like laying this way, and one would be laying like this way. And so whoever it was, Junior Samples was there laying with, on your back, just resting and watching the day go by. The other guy says, "Well, look at there. There's a beautiful woman." And Junior Samples said, "I sure wish I was facing that way." He was so lazy that he couldn't move his head over to see. Now that's lazy. And laziness we know as a physical thing. Usually when we talk about somebody's being lazy, it's that they are not motivated to do things. They let things go for a long time and don't take care of it. They're not concerned with keeping a, a date to finish something. They're not diligent. They're not self-motivated. They have to be pushed and shoved and reminded to do things. And then there's those people that are not lazy. They are always showing the initiative. They're always pressing to finish and to do more. And some in history we've known, I think Spurgeon was one like this, who just was very active here and there, running here and there and doing all these different things. But laziness is not just and not primarily a physical thing. The Bible, it identifies laziness, slothfulness, sluggard behavior. It's a moral thing. It's not just that a person is saying that they're not motivated to move on their own, but that there's something moral going on. Because when Proverbs contrast wisdom and foolishness, the wise are not lazy, but the foolish are. And we see that in this passage in Proverbs 24. The man here is not about farming as much as it's about a moral character defect. That this man is not smart, he's not wise, he is slothful, and as a result, look at his vineyard. His vineyard, because of it, and it's described in verse 30, that he's devoid of understanding. He is slow of mind, is really what it's saying. He doesn't realize that what he has in front of him is a way to make a living and is a way to feed his family. But he's lazy. So he goes by the field of the slothful person, and it was overgrown with thorns. It shows all the signs of being neglected. Now, what we say today when we neglect something is we forgot. And we had to teach our daughter as early as we could that there's a difference between forgetting and neglecting. And neglecting is an act of laziness. So this man had just neglected. Sometimes people say, well, I just don't have time. I don't have time. Now, time is a commodity. And there are people that don't have much time. But the lazy person is going to say, he just didn't have time. He's going to get to it. That's cover for laziness. Its surface was covered with nettles. It had not even been raked. Stone wall was broken down, which you put up to keep, you know, casual animals from just traipsing through it and people. And so he sees that, and he makes a connection, Solomon. He makes a connection that he wants to pass on to his son, that his son not be a slothful man. So he says it in verse 32, "When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So your poverty will come like a prowler and your want like an armed man." Well, some people would say, well, that's being harsh. He just didn't want to do gardening. He didn't want to farm. He didn't want to keep the vineyard. Fine. But that's not what it is. It's a waste of a resource. Not because you had another venture. Not because you had other jobs to do. Not because of some other area where you might be excused. But from indolence, from neglect, from laziness, from slothful, sluggardly behavior. So lo and behold, if you leave a vineyard to itself, it collapses. Weeds grow. Pine needles fall. Leaves get everywhere. Walls break down. Nothing grows. Isn't that amazing? I bet Mike could tell you, if you don't plant anything in the farm, nothing comes up. That is just an odd thing, isn't it? That if you don't plant, nothing comes up. If you don't tend a garden, tend a farm, nothing comes up. You got gardens by your house, some of you. I bet you have to tend to them.
It does come up. You don't want it then.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever comes up. But it takes diligence. You have to get up and say, well, I've got things to do today, and they got to be done. So you get up. But a lazy person wouldn't. Now, there's a difference between being lazy and having lazy times. If you go on vacation, that's a lazy time, but that's not being lazy. If you take some extra rest, take a nap or something, that's not being lazy, unless you know or not tending to things you're supposed to be. But that's a moment of, you know, I'm just being lazy. We laugh about that. We're laying back and resting. I'm just going to be lazy for a little while. Just really not the same thing. A lazy person is across the board lazy. He is someone that has to be stirred. A fire has to be set up on set under him to get him to move. He is constantly finding that he's failing to accomplish tasks that are given to him. He's not a self-motivator. You're always having to cover for him, or he's always giving excuses as to why this didn't get done. And that's a lazy person. And so he says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. It's like you're giving in. When you give in to the little sleep and a little slumber and a little rest, that's the talk of a slothful person. Is it they're only going to lay here for a minute. And Solomon says, your want will come like a prowler and an armed man. In just a quiet way, you want to rest a few more minutes. But the result is not quiet. The result is a violent break-in and taking of your money by a thief. And the removing of your prosperity to poverty. Now that is in Scripture a moral problem. It is a failure to be faithful to what God has given you to do. And it is a moral defect. It's not primarily that he wasted grapes. It's that he wasted a gift from God to provide for himself and his family, or you know, to be a good worker. That is laziness. And it's the opposite of wisdom. Let's just Proverbs 10. Let's look at a few places in Proverbs which mentions laziness, and you'll see the picture a little bit clearer. Verse 26 of Proverbs 10. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. Now, vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes are irritants. And the sluggard is an irritant to the one who depends upon him. You can't depend upon a sluggard. You see, that is a moral defect. It is not dependable. It's someone who, by his very life, breaks his vow to be faithful to his job. Now, I used it in relation to spiritual gifts this morning. Because in America, unlike in Corinth, in America, the matter of spiritual gifts is something that is met with laziness. Now, I don't believe, and I used to maybe lean to believe this a little bit more as helpful than I do now, but I look at it this way. Spiritual gifts are in the Scriptures, and we can benefit from studying them. But if a person is not desirous of working and serving in a church and serving other believers and serving in a ministry, they don't need ammunition. If a person is against guns, if you give them bullets, it won't matter. They're not going to use it. So here we have a situation with the vineyard, and then you have a matter where the man's got a job here. He's going to deliver a message. It's not happening. It's a failure of a duty. And that's what today this is. I don't think that anybody in the church has to go through some class and identify one of the gifts in Scripture that's mentioned there and do that as their gift. I don't think it's that hard. I think if you do some study on gifts, and I have, then you'll benefit from it to that degree. But first of all, there has to be a willingness to serve. That has to be under everything. And after that, I believe it kind of comes to you. Because if we're doing generally, and you know, a lot of the gifts are just what we generally do, except for the sign gifts. It's what we generally do as a Christian. We're to have faith. We're to have wisdom. We're to have knowledge. We're to encourage each other. Read and get prophecy and teach, and we do that. But when you are willing to serve and desirous of pleasing the Lord and active in His service, then we identify what you do as a gift. Plus, I really think that people have more than one gift, and they have kind of a mixture of different things that God has given, and that's their place in the body. It's not just faith alone and, you know, wisdom or whatever. People have a myriad of these things, and they serve Christ that way. And a person who is willing to serve and desirous of serving is going to know what their gift is, because they're going to be fruitful more than others in certain areas. But the problem, of course, today is we're missing the very initial thing. Because God has given a gift, and like the man with the vineyard, or the one here mentioned in chapter 10 who's given a job he fails to do, the gift given is thwarted. It is nullified by indolence, by laziness. Chapter 13, Proverbs. Verse 4. The soul of a sluggard desires and has nothing. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Here is a lazy man, a sluggard. He does not lose his desire. He still wants things. I would say everybody in the church today who is not interested in serving, of course, you've got professionals who serve, and you've got what we call lay people, but really the Bible doesn't know anything about lay people. It knows about Christians, and Christians serve Christ, and we serve one another in the body. But we also note that those who will not serve still have desires in the church. Those who will not serve have no desire to serve, do not want to get involved in the church, want to be served, want to go to a church where they'll be focused upon and served, but not serve themselves. That they still have desires, and they exercise those desires and say, listen, this church is not caring for me like they should. Anybody who says that is almost always, and I mean as long as the Bible, the gospel is being preached and the doctrine of the church is right, it almost always means that this person is lazy. He desires and has nothing. He does not engage in the church. He does not engage in the ministry that he's been given if he's a Christian. And he expects others to use their gifts to his benefit. That is a perversion of the church. And in the mind of that person. It's fitting for a store. I don't like anything in your store. That's what consumers say. But Christians don't say that or shouldn't. A Christian is saved. He is given gifts. He is changed in his heart and given a desire to glorify God. And he hits the ground in that, learning as he goes, growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that person is a beneficial servant in the ministry of the Lord Jesus. Every Christian. That is the normal thing. What we have in our day today is abnormal. Now, you don't have to have a job. You don't have to have a vocation. Not many do. But service is not an option among Christians. We serve the way we do. Now, some people serve in a very quiet way. That's what we looked at this morning. The body doesn't care about that. The body doesn't care if you're quiet or loud, as long as you're doing your part. What part you've been given to do, if it's a little part or if it's a big part, if you're doing your part, that's your part. Now, we all do general things that go over the gift things and aren't just limited to those. But doing our part is all the body cares about. I don't care at all that my nose doesn't walk. It doesn't bother me at all. What a weird thing that would be. I'm fine with every part of my body doing exactly what it's supposed to do. I got eyelashes sometimes that grow down, or these eyebrows grow down. I guess I can grow hair where I don't really want it to grow too much, but not up here. And it gets down there. I don't know what it's doing. I don't know exactly what that's supposed to be doing. But I'm glad for it to do that. Yeah, I said, why don't you run up here a little bit? But no, it's fine. Wherever it is, there you go. I'm perfectly fine with that. So a person who is in the body and fulfilling their function, whether they're ever heard of, whether anybody praises them, knows about them, that doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter to any Christian as long as they're doing their part. And that's what all God requires. But you see, the person who doesn't do that is the one who's going to complain about not getting what he wants. And he doesn't have because he doesn't engage himself in the ministry, if he's a Christian. And you know, it's no wonder that in many churches there's so many people who are dissatisfied, because who's working, who's doing the work of the ministry? Who's on a day-to-day basis, every day of the week, going and manifesting themselves as a Christian in this world and building up the church when we come together? Who's doing that these days in the church at large? And so you have a big vacuum. But then it doesn't do any good for the person who's part of the vacuum to come in and fuss about the vacuum. He's part of it. I skipped a few in order. Chapter 12, Proverbs, verse 24. It says this: the hand of the diligent will rule, but the slothful will be put to forced labor. Skip down to verse 27. The slothful man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is man's precious possession. You see, in both those cases, you've got a contrast. It's not just a physical thing that you're lazy. It's a moral thing. The hand of the diligent, that's godly. The slothful, that's ungodly. The slothful man hunts, but he doesn't prepare it. He just hunts for the kill. But in this case, it's like he hunts and then goes back to camp and hopes other people have cooked what they got, because he's too lazy to cook what he got. He won't roast what he took in hunting. But diligence is man's precious possession. You know, we live in a world that is very victim-oriented these days. And people who are victims are considered to be, they get a pass. I can't do because I've been abused. I don't make enough money. I've been I've not been treated right. And there are people who will not move a muscle because they've been convinced that they're a victim. And then there are people in higher places who want them to stay a victim so that they can tell, we'll take care of you. You don't have to do that. Don't move. Don't do anything. That's not wisdom. That's sluggard. That's behavior that is slothful. Because the greatest thing for us is when we're down like that, the greatest gift we have is the ability to climb out of that hole and do something that God blesses. Like we see here in chapter 24. Diligence is a man's precious possession, and the hand of the diligent will rule. There is something good that comes from that. But if you lay around, I wonder how many young men in high school, they see that pretty girl that like junior samples wouldn't look at. They see that pretty girl, they say, oh, I sure hope she comes this way so she asked me out. We call that a single man. He makes no effort. He has no diligence. A lot of lazy young men, when they see a girl they'd like to go out with, they turn into something more than lazy. They start making some diligent efforts. It's a moral thing. Proverbs 15, verse 19. The way of the slothful man is like a hedge of thorns. That's kind of picturesque, isn't it? But the way of the upright is a highway. The slothful man gets into a lot of trouble by being lazy. If you're in school, you get in trouble because you didn't do your homework, didn't do your paper. Your way is a hedge of thorns. You are being pricked all around. You can't move. You can't get out because you're lazy. You don't move. And everything becomes a bigger problem. You can't get a good job because you're not a good worker. If you have your own business, people don't want to hire you because you're negligent. The way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns. Now, it's funny in Proverbs 19, verse 24, so lazy is this man. Proverbs 19, 24, a slothful man buries his hand in the bowl and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Now, I have to think that's Solomon using biting humor here. Here's a man who is eating. He is so lazy. He sticks his hand in the bowl and it grieves him, I think that King James says, to bring his hand to his mouth to eat it. He's too lazy to eat. You talk about lazy. Even lazy people are pretty diligent in eating. But here's a man slothful. Solomon's painting a picture here of a person who is so lazy. He can't even finish the act of eating. It takes too much effort. When we talk about church today, our fellowship is a part of our fulfilling the body of Christ. Our dealing with each other in a loving way, as Paul will talk about in 1 Corinthians 13, that's part of our place in the body of Christ. In other words, the things that the Bible tells us to do, if we do those things, we are fulfilling that which God has done in placing us in the body for the common good, for the benefit of all. And a sluggard is not interested in that. A sluggard is not motivated to that. A sluggard does not move in that direction. He's not spun that way. He's a receiver, not a giver. He's a complainer. Remember in the wilderness, Israel complaining. And Moses would always say, if you trust in the Lord, things are going to work out. And they never would do that. And then they would complain. So they would go against what Moses advised them, what the Lord advised them through Moses. And then they would complain. They kept making their way harder. For example, the most glaring example in the wilderness is that they wanted to go to the promised land, and so they were given the promised land. And so the spies go out and look, And they come back and they say, we can't take that land. And all the whole crowd just cries and puts up a fuss and groans and moans. Oh, no. And so they ended up 40 years in the wilderness. When they could have gone in the land right then and enjoy the fruit of the land. But because they were the way they were, they were just complainers and moaners and gripers. And they wanted everything to be handed to them. And they didn't want to step out in faith and trust God and go into the land like the Lord told them to do. So they paid for it. That's a moral problem. The Lord makes us diligent as we walk with Him. He makes us active in His service. And again, it's not to me that you can identify and tag what your gifts all are if you're doing them. Someone else may tag them for you. Someone else may say, you know, you're really fruitful in this area. And they come to you and ask you advice because you're a man of faith or a woman of faith, and you give encouragement when people are down, and they like to come and talk to you because you have that effect. Or you're good at evangelism, and someone comes and says, well, you know, help me with that, because they see it in you, because you're practicing witnessing like we're all supposed to do, but you have a certain way of doing it that is gifted. But a sluggard, who knows? He doesn't move. You can't steer a ship that's sitting in port. He doesn't do anything, but he says, boy, I sure wish I could be out on the high seas. Why don't you put your sails up? Oh, I don't want to do that. That's too much work. The lazy man says, there is a lion in the road, a fierce lion in the streets. He says, you know, I can't go out there. There's a lion out there. You don't see a lion, do you? No, I know it's out there, though. I know those lions. Those lions are sneaky. They hide. They're behind the bush over there. As soon as I get out, it's going to get me. That's what a slothful man does. He says, not that he won't. He says that he can't. He's limited. He's hindered. And how many Christians through the years have been providentially hindered to do what God tells them to do? Because there's a lion in the street. He's likened to a door in Proverbs 26:14. As a door turns on its hinges, so does the lazy man on his bed. Yeah, he works in turning over in the bed. That's where he gets his exercise. And yet we're told in Proverbs 26:16 that the lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. He is lazy and has a good reason to be and knows everything even though he knows nothing. It's good that we have spiritual gifts. It's good that we know about them. We'll look at them as we go through the rest of 1 Corinthians. But I'll note this, and what we'll do in 1 Corinthians is that when Paul mentions spiritual gifts, what he does with it is not talk about the individual things first, because they're doing all those things. What he talks about is the proper use of them in the body to benefit every person. In other words, to be unified, to be loving, and then in chapter 14, to do it right. And in this country, a great deal would be accomplished if that foundation of will was moved by professing Christians. And again, if you're a Christian and you're trying to serve the Lord and you're serving the Lord, then you're not being a sluggard. But the vast majority are not doing anything. They are sitting by and hoping other people do it. And that is a moral problem. And if you're a Christian, it is a refusal to use a gift that God has given. How long does it take a kid at Christmas when you give them a gift that's wrapped? How long does it take them to get it open? When we're given a gift, I mean, I'm right now in kind of that no man's land. My birthday's in January. My anniversary's in June. We just sang Christmas songs tonight, so that's my next gift time. And I always like that. I mean, it's just a cultural thing. I always don't mind that. And I think you're probably the same way. Oh, I don't need anything this year, but you hope you get something. And yet the church, we have so many needs and so many problems in the modern church. And a lot of the problem is our own doing, because we are not, as a church — I'm not talking about just this church, I'm talking about church as a whole — we do not get actively engaged in the gifts that we've been given, and that would solve so many problems. You wouldn't have those griping, complaining, moaning people that sit around doing nothing. And so spiritual gifts is a gift we need to open up. And when we do, we won't be sluggard or slothful or lazy, but diligent, and bring great effect and glory to the Lord. Let's all stand. Mike, would you dismiss us?